You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast on this very, very late draft night of 2020. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, the host of this wonderful podcast, and I'm joined by a guy who mere minutes, maybe 30 minutes before the Pacers selected Cassius Stanley with the 54th pick in the draft, said, pass. I don't want him to somebody on Twitter. Tony, is Tony East? Tony, are you regretting that?
What did I say?
You, on Twitter, you said, I have the exact tweet pulled up. You had your little list. It says 1 hour ago now. So
someone replied to me about Cassius Stanley and I said pass.
Yeah, we're recording at 1 a.m. Eastern. Yeah, 1 a.m. Eastern. An hour ago, Tony said, getting closer to 54 and a couple guys I liked enough to track pre-draft are still out there. And then somebody responds, Cassius Stanley, ? And Tony goes, not that interested.
Yeah, so let's talk about him. There's reason for optimism beyond my not that interested tweet.
You also don't have a great history. You were really mad about the Aaron Holiday pick, and that turned out just fine.
I was stupid low on Leaf and super high on Goga, and I was very low on Aaron Holiday.
So you're 2 for 3.
That's pretty good. Second rounders, I don't usually have opinions on, but I had to this year because they only had one pick. Yeah, he's super, super, super athletic. Like, he'll immediately – we'll talk about Chad Buchanan's comments on this podcast. He'll immediately be the most athletic player on the team. Chad Buchanan said that. He broke Zion Williamson's vertical record for Duke basketball, which is just insane because Zion's also insanely athletic, right? So that pops, and he's a wing, right? And that's what I tweeted. Like, you can – drafting an athletic wing is good and fine. It's just that – his other skills aren't super all awesome. Like, his on-ball skills aren't the best. But, again, athletic wing, that's fine. They can mold that into something at some point.
Yeah, and I think – so let's do his measurables real fast actually before we move to anything else. So he's 21 years old. He's a little bit older of a freshman. He's 6'6 with a 6'7 wingspan. He went to Duke. He's one of three guys to go in the second round. Oddly, Duke did not have a first-round pick for the first time, I think, in, like, 11 years is what I saw on Twitter. To me, I guess if I make an interesting comparison, I thought he kind of, in some ways, is kind of like a mini version, maybe a more athletic version of TJ Warren in some weird ways, right? Where, like, this kind of not a great ball handler, kind of a, he's an okay 3-point shooter, but just sort of like more of an around the rim player in college and sort of has the, like, the measurables that if it's the right staff, coaching staff, whatnot, can become a really good player, but it's going to take a lot of molding. Warren obviously was better out of college, don't get me wrong, but that's I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I have a better comp for you.
Okay, give me the better comp. That's just the one I thought of right away.
Glenn Robinson the third.
Okay, yeah,
that's a tiny, like, a worse shooting version of Glenn Robinson the third. And GR3 wasn't really a shooter out of college either. He kind of grew into it in the NBA, but yeah, I like a GR3 comp. The athleticism's there, the wing size is there. You know, that kind of stuff can translate. Maybe he could be, again, I say I'm not that interested because drafting a guy who's athletic and molding skills is harder, but it's certainly possible. And, you know,
Pacers are good at it. Pacers are good at doing that, molding players.
They have. That's true. That is a pro tip in the cap for the Pacers on this. They have done that with Ed right now on the roster, right? Sumner is a similar situation. They dragged him through an injury. So, yes, very similar situation to that. Maybe they can do the same thing. And, you know, he was like an okay shooter, an okay scorer, mediocre rebounder, not a good passer. Like, a lot of his offensive stuff is just, like, fine, you know, okay, whatever. It's a 54th pick. You know, I should lower my standards for saying not interested is an aggressive response to someone on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, this pick
I can't believe I'm being flamed for this at 1 a.m, Adam.
I just thought it was funny. I mean,
I know.
You know, it's because I distinctly remember when the Patriots, Aaron Holiday, you coming on. Whoops, drop something.
Yes,
there.
I was not enthused by that. But
you were very not enthused. That was maybe at a 10 p.m. on a.
He has proven me wrong. Good for him.
So I'm just saying, I don't mean to, like, put you on. I mean,
but you know what he did that I didn't think he'd do is just be a nuts off the dribble shooter, right?
Like, yeah, he's a better defender than you thought, too, I think.
Yeah, but he is. So that's the Cassius line of thought is, right, he's got the stuff that not every – like the stuff you can't teach. You know what I mean? That's what everybody talks about.
Yeah, you go for a big-time athlete and figure out later.
Right, yeah. Not – you know, some guys can already shoot, and you can teach shooting a little bit with form and reps and stuff like that. You can't make a guy jump 1,000 times and he'll suddenly jump higher, right? So that – he has that athleticism advantage. He's played with other pros, like you just said, at Duke, even though they weren't first-round pros, and at Sierra Canyon in high school. So He's got good experience with good players. So this is probably a good fit for him. Buchanan said Bjorkgren was enthused by the skill set he could bring. And, you know, again, he's got the stuff that you can't teach. So they just have to find a way to get him something, whether it's a little bit better of an outside shot, right? Because you look at his 36% three-point shooting in college, that's okay. But I think he kind of has the Leaf stat line that you have to get wary of, where the three-point percentage looks kind of good or, like, fine, but the free throw percentage is not as good. And both of those are very important when projecting shooting in the NBA. And Leaf's free throw percentage in college wasn't good. And lo and behold, Leaf is not a good shooter in the NBA. So I think he could be a good
shooter. Those are other issues, though, with that besides just that.
There is. He added muscle and changed his form. But, you know, you just have to be mindful that, you know, maybe that shooting will not translate. But if he can be a shooter, all of a sudden that athleticism, you're like, oh, damn, you know, he can do something for us. Or if he can up the passing a little bit, who knows. And it's too early to project anything. They drafted a really athletic wing. And you can never have too many wings in the NBA today.
Well, and something that I like that teams do, and at this late in the draft, it's actually hard. But he was a four-star guy out of college. Or before going to college, I mean.
And top 30, I think, in his class?
Yeah, 30, 32 in ESPN's right now. Okay. Surprisingly, all the Duke guys. There were three Duke guys in the top 30, I guess, that year. The top one I see is Vernon Carey went, what, like 32 or 37? Which one?
Yeah. To merge that with seniors, juniors, and sophomores and to still be close to that ranking is good.
Yeah. What I would say is picking an athlete is like – probably the best thing you can do with this late of a pick, right? I mean, odds are one of the pick will be nothing. I mean, odds are it will be a 2 or 3 year thing and the person will be playing in Europe or China next, right? So I think the best thing to do is just to pick somebody who you think you can mold in the player you want to see, right? Like, you're not going to get any kind of, ready to play player second round. I mean,
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, and you're not even going to get anybody who's ready even to be, like, probably the 11th or 12th guy at this pick, at this range. You're getting a guy who's going to spend a year in the G League or in and out of G League and NBA. I don't know. This year might be a little different because of coronavirus or whatnot. But a guy who's going to spend a lot of time developing and whatnot. And it's in – if you can just, you know, tap into his athleticism and turn him to even a rotation player in 3 years, that's a win in a way. And so, I mean, that – it just makes sense, right? I mean, I think – in general, the Pacers in the past have sometimes kind of, instead of going with athletes, they go with guys they think have like a skill set or whatnot, and it doesn't always pan out when I think the athletes is the best place to go. I mean, if I'm thinking of guys like, I mean, hate to throw Leaf again on the bus, but like they pick Leaf, right? Not necessarily this.
Well, even look at their second rounders under Kevin Pritchard. Yeah. Ike Anibogu was like this insane, jumpy, shot blocking center. And
couldn't stay healthy. I mean, his.
He couldn't stay. Well, he could be what Winston has, or Winston. There was a Cassius Winston who got picked one pick early, so one pick before Cassius Stanley.
I think they're hoping for him to be kind of their BAM level player, but yeah. Or Hassan Whiteside player, I guess. I don't know.
So, yeah, that you know, they went for EK for the athleticism and said they'll try to develop the skills later. It didn't happen. That could happen with Stanley, too. EK got 2 years to do it, right? They'll have plenty of time to figure that out. They picked Ed on some athleticism after an injury. They picked Alizé on his springy athleticism, right? Their second round MO has sort of been this, to pick the guys like this who fit that bill. Who did they pick in the second round last year? I should be remembering, and I can't for sure.
Did they not? Didn't they? No.
They did. They traded it. They had 32, and they traded it to the Heat for 3 second rounders, and they traded the other one to the Jazz. That's right.
They traded or they sell it? I thought they sold it.
They traded it for a future first. Or future second.
Their second.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
I couldn't remember it. Okay.
So, yeah, they've gone for the athleticism in the second round in the past, and this kind of fits that bill. Sometimes you get your Sumners, right, where they pan out, and sometimes you get your EKs where the skills just – and injuries are a factor, but even when he played in the G League, the skills just never came, right? So Stanley will have to be Sumner if he wants to stick.
Yeah, I guess – I mean, the other option to go to a pick like this is to pick a veteran guy who was like a four-year college guy who – has like some like off measurables, right? Like a Yogi Ferrell, Carson Edwards type of guy. That's Edwards didn't fall this far in the last draft, but like that, these are the two ways to go. And I'm more in the favor of going for the athletic side of player just because I think that has the better long term potential, I guess. I mean, it just seems to be the better choice going, you know what I mean? It's always good to have athletes, you figure it out kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you on that. And he's the most athletic guy on the team, like right now. You know, Chad Buchanan said that. I think that. Based off of just watching a few things from him at Duke. So, yeah, you can never have too much of that.
Yeah. And I guess who is the best athlete in the Pacers currently before we go to break?
Sumner.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I was like trying to – right, I was like, is Aaron Holiday maybe? Right?
It was Vic pre-injury, obviously, yes, not Vic anymore.
Would it be of like the nine, the kind of rotation guys? Would it be Aaron Holiday?
Miles,
yeah, probably Miles. Yeah, because it's vertical.
Miles has, yeah, he's kind of like got the awkward gait, but everything else he does is just super athletic.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay, what else with the draft pick before we talk about more draft thoughts in general?
I think we should just take a break and talk general Pacers draft thoughts and draft in general.
Okay, let's do that, and then we'll talk about general draft stuff. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends over at BuiltGo.com. BuiltGo is this wonderful energy gel that helps you break through that mental and physical wall every single day. They come in these 1.5 ounce packages that you can put in your briefcase, your backpack, your golf bag, or even just your back pocket, take with you. It's kind of like a 5-hour energy without the same crash, but a natural feeling for your body. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It combines energy gel with collagen protein and a little bit of that caffeine kick that you might need for that pre-workout or even getting the day. I know when I like to work out, I use a little caffeine before it gets me kind of going, it gets me kind of energized. And right now, go to BuiltGo.com, use promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off your next order at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. All right, Tony. So the Pacers obviously did not make a move. Chad Buchanan on the kind of post-draft pressers, thanks to your question, basically kind of said they looked around and like any of the possible ways to get off some players if they wanted to make a move in the draft day. I guess that's the big takeaway from the Pacers side of it. What did you think of anything else?
Yeah, well, we can get a little specific on those because I think those are interesting things we previewed could happen tonight. First, Kevin Bowen of ESPN 1075 The Fan asked about moving into the first round. And this kind of coincides with what you were kind of thinking or hinting at yesterday where they didn't work out guys, right? They didn't get specifics on anybody. It seems like they just weren't really interested in anyone higher up or not willing to give up future stuff for anybody in this draft. So he basically said they weren't aggressive in trying to pursue a first rounder. That kind of makes sense anyway. You know, the team couldn't fit a first rounder in the rotation now. Why just swing assets for one at this point in time? So that made sense to me, right? That didn't strike you as odd or anything like that.
No, I mean, they traded the pick last year, clearly not being interested in the draft, right?
Yeah,
I think that was kind of a sign they didn't really care about this year's draft.
No, actually, we should have said that. It was pretty cool in the first round today, the 24th pick, the Pacers selected Malcolm Brogdon. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, so you had a good little tweet on this where you talked about how the pick bounced around 4 different
it
ways.
It did, yeah.
The guy that got taken 24 was RJ Hampton, I believe.
Yep.
He was the one – he spurred my Syracuse Orange, right, to go play internationally.
He did.
G League-ish. Yeah,
yeah, that – so the Pacers traded it for Brogdon, and then the Bucks traded it for Drew Holiday, and then the Pelicans traded it for a future first from the Nuggets. So the Pacers first is now on the Nuggets.
Let's hope this isn't another Caris LeVert because that might look bad.
Exactly.
That's all.
So the other thing, that's the one you brought up, is I asked Chad Buchanan via Adam's guidance. We were discussing questions to ask Pacers GM Chad Buchanan.
Appreciate the credit. Thanks, Tony.
No problem. About... you know, we've talked about on this a lot, like the precursor move that we've been thinking could happen of shedding some salary against the tax. And he said, did you hear him, Adam? He said, oh, that's a good question. You know, I always,
he did that. Say that.
And then he said that, you know, there were, I don't want to misspeak here, but I think he said opportunities. He said there were opportunities to make a move like that, but the asking price was too high. So I'm going to call in a specific trade from this draft. Tony Bradley. I don't know if any of you listeners know who Tony Bradley is. He is.
I'm sure I know who that is. Yeah, I think I do.
Some people do. He was an old center for North Carolina who got picked in the first round, 26-ish, I can't remember, by the Utah Jazz. And he hasn't really done anything for them. He's been stuck behind Gobert. He had an okay year in his third year. He played 58 games and put up some decent stats. So the Jazz salary dumped their former first rounder tonight. It took them the 38th pick to do it. He is A, more productive than Leaf, and B, the 38th pick is a pretty good second rounder. So that is kind of the price to get off Leaf. So I'm wondering if he didn't give any specifics, Buchanan didn't, but it would have taken – that basically leads me to believe it would have taken basically a full pick more than 54 to get off of Leaf. They may have tried. They could
try 2 seconds, right?
Yep. They probably tried, couldn't do it. So maybe they'll trade future seconds to do it. But if they were considering something like that, it seems like the price was too high for what they were willing to do, and they either wanted to pick Stanley or someone else, or, you know, that's not the trade at all. And I'm just making stuff up, but Yeah, it seems like the price to do it will for sure be 2 seconds if it happens. And they said the price was too aggressive for them. They didn't do it.
Yeah, I think because part of it in the back of their mind, they know they're going to stretch him out and create just enough, right, if they need to. Like, I know you can't go get the full mid-level, but you get pretty freaking close.
Right. That's the question they have to ask, and we've talked about this too. Is Herb willing to for sure pay this money, or are we willing to give up minor assets to not pay it at all? Because they can always just stretch them, right, and free up $2.8 million in room. They're going to free up a tiny bit of room because they'll pay Cassius whatever he is owed, which is the $900,000 rookie minimum. So, again, we'll have to see how that shakes out. But, yeah, I was intrigued that they were looking – and it is like we've been talking about. It is a step that they'll possibly have to take, and it was interesting to hear him say that they were looking at options like that.
So did you at all think the Pacers might buy a second-round pick today or something like that, or – I mean, I didn't think they were going to trade in the first round, but do you think they might make some move to just increase the number of picks they had?
Yeah, there was some merit to it because of how much money it could save them cap-wise and stuff like that. But the going rate for them was pretty high, right? So the Rockets bought a pick next year for a ton of money, and some of that was to offset some Trevor Ariza trade value because they dealt him today. But anyway, they spent like $4 million on that pick, right? And then they traded that pick that they bought plus an extra more cash for a pick this year, right? So they really traded a bunch of cash for that pick. And then I think the Bucks bought a pick from Magic. There were I don't remember exactly who bought what, but the going rate was pretty high, and I was wrong. I thought there'd be more picks sold than there were. I don't know if there were really any just straight, like, that's it. It was just sold, but
the teams are cash poor because of the pandemic and nobody has any flipping money. I mean, they don't have it. They have money, but they don't have any liquid.
Well, the
cash.
Teams I thought would do it too ended up like stumbling into good stuff, you know, so it kind of worked out.
Yeah. I mean, this is just draft, but how, if you're the Pacers, how mad are you that all of a sudden they've turned this like Paul George thing into like 3 billion picks in Oklahoma City?
Like, yeah, they timed the shit out of that with the Kawhi stuff. And you know what I mean? Like timing of a trade is happening.
Timing's everything, man. True. Timing is everything. Yeah. I mean, I guess just random thought. The top of the draft, anything surprise you?
Not really. Tyrese Haliburton falling to like 12-ish was a little surprising, but no, not really. I think everything kind of makes sense. You know, it was always like, which guy is going to be the one that ends up in the 8-10 range, and it turned out to be Denny Avdija. Everything else was pretty
right.
Much.
I mean, it seemed like for a couple of days, LaMelo had jumped ahead of Edwards, but Edwards had always been kind of the odds that there'd be one for most of this pandemic, at least.
Yeah, I always do this because I'm just weird, but I always watch how like the teams in the Pacers division do to see, you know, how eventually they're going to close the gap, right? So the Pistons, they picked Killian Hayes, who I think is really good. The Cavs picked Isaac Okoro, who I think is really good and a really good fit for them with Sexton and Darius Garland. And the Bulls picked Patrick Williams, who I'm not as high on. So that was an interesting one for them. So we'll see if the Bulls take any steps forward soon. But the Pistons and Cavs, their most important pick, they did a good job.
I will say, right, there wasn't a trade in the first round of the 19th pick, right?
The Nets, that was the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets, Clippers, Pistons. Yeah.
I think that was the first trade. I believe you're correct.
Right, and I feel like that – I mean, I guess – there's always a lot of hype out of this could be this trade, especially this year with everything that happened with all this hype, and wasn't a ton. But second round is always
17 was dealt in the Ricky Rubio trade.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That was the highest pick dealt. Yeah. But like, not as high. You're right, though. That is
because, like, the second round is always like a billion trades. Like, teams are just jockeying cash that's flowing around. Like, I expect to be just kind of a clusterfuck. Sorry to cuss. But I was surprised there wasn't a ton of moves. I mean, like, you pretty much heard up until the draft started that, like, the Warriors wanted to trade their pick. The Timberwolves wanted to trade their pick, but like it seemed like nobody was biting pretty much.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And some of the guys that were falling made it easier to not trade the picks too for a lot of teams. So
yeah,
teams were willing to just sit on their hands and just, all right, we like this guy anyway, we'll do it.
So, I do think it shows how unvaluable this draft, or how teams rated this draft in terms of overall value, right? There wasn't a ton of trading future picks for a pick in this draft, for example.
Well, it's kind of like what – well, one is the double drafts coming up and teams going to hold for that. But
yeah, but Ryan next Carr year probably, said it, it's probably 2022.
I think probably. So. What Ryan Carr said, remember, is like, you know, he didn't think there was a lot of top-end talent, but he thought that there was – you know, everything after that was fair game. And I think a lot of talent evaluators have kind of said like, 10 through 40, you know what I mean, is so varied for teams that it's kind of hard to do trades because, you know, your guy, the guy you really love could just be available at 40. Why trade up? You know?
Yeah, and I guess the question is this year 10 through 40 any better than next year 10 through 40?
Right, exactly.
And ultimately, as soon as you take – we just said this yesterday, but like when you take a draft pick, it's like a car, right? The minute you drive it off the lot, it's worth less money than when you got it from trade value. So I wonder just more value in having the next year possibility.
Right. And outside of OKC and the Pistons, very few teams did any –
Well, and the Pistons have been rumored to make a bunch of moves because they were like the whole – they're trying to get like rebuild their whole team. Or they kind of want to blow
crazy
it up
today. I don't even know who's on the roster anymore.
Well, I mean, Blake Griffin is still.
That's true. No, but yeah, it was a fun draft because it was still like predictable-ish, but there was still enough variation that it was like the perfect amount of, you know, stuff to talk about with your friends, but also like, oh, cool, like this happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we should win the Pistons to blow up. They paid for the off to play them five times, right?
That's true. Yeah,
so I'm a good maybe five. Well, they probably won't win five games against them, but maybe. I mean, knock on wood and hope.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that was the other thing that happened. I guess was they announced sort of a schedule, like not any games, but like just kind of.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after free agency.
Yeah, yeah, but that was just something else that happened. Anything else with the draft before we move on to some free agency stuff that I know you were very reluctant to talk about, but I'm going to drag you into.
Well, we got to bring Buchanan's comments into it, but no, we just spoke with Cassius Stanley. We had to interrupt this podcast, so if you notice a change in my tone.
Hey, I'm going to edit so well they're not going to notice, Tony.
I know Adam is going to edit it. You guys aren't even going to know I dipped away, but we just talked to Cassius Stanley. You know who he sat with during the draft, Adam?
Who?
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, nice. Oh,
so Russell Westbrook. He said. He said on the call that Westbrook left him a few minutes before he was chatting with us. But yeah,
did Westbrook have 3 years at 40?
They're not trading for Westbrook. Don't worry. They didn't know where he was going when they were hanging out.
Does he have 3 years at $600 million left, or what?
I think it's $700 million, but yeah, it's about. It's up
there. I mean, he is. Let's see. Yeah, he's got 40.
Yeah, I don't think that encourages any trade, but yeah, that he said that he was chilling with Westbrook. He considers him a mentor. And
when you love the Pacers, have to decide to pick up a third year or a 3 years from now, 33-year-old Russell Westbrook, $47 million player option. Have to be just saddled with that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. That would not be good. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. He said that he is going to bring high energy, great defense, and rebounding from the guard position. Great. It's very rare a prospect doesn't say, like, I can score the ball. So, good start.
Well, and you saw a bunch of the Pacer players. At least I saw Vic. Did Turner also tweet him?
Miles did too, yep.
So, all doing the right things. Vic also congratulated Anthony Edwards, who I think the tie is because Edwards played at Georgia. Tom Crean is the coach of Georgia. And Vic was a player under Tom Crean, was coach of IU. So,
yep.
That's seven ways Kevin Bacon there. All right, let's do this. Let's take one more break, and then we're going to do some kind of free agency and talk about Chad Buchanan's press conference after the draft. Okay, Tony, so I have a long thing. Not a long thing, but a little rant on like something to do with like the Vic trade, Vic possible trades, and Seth Curry moving and whatnot. But I think we talk about Buchanan first, and I can give you my whole spiel at the end. That was okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, so with Buchanan, I guess, I thought the most interesting thing – by far, I heard, and we talked about it before the podcast because we both noticed it was, I think it was Kevin Bowen who asked him about kind of
building around Vic.
Are they going to build around Vic? Are they still building around him, whatnot? And Buchanan said, we aren't just a one-star team or one-guy team, right? And he named four players they could build around. They named Brogdon, Sabonis, Oladipo, and Warren. Did not name Miles Turner. I don't know if that was on purpose. Slip of the tongue.
I don't think it was.
It's 12:30 at night. I mean, it looked like Buchanan could use a nap, to be honest. Like,
That's one of those. You know, he's not intending anything by it. I think he's just answering the question, but free agency's in a day. And
he looked
like,
tired.
What?
he looked like he hadn't slept, obviously. So, like, he had a nice power hour nap before free agency starts. So
and, like, the rest of his staff is 10 feet away, he says, like, trying to sign these undrafted dudes and stuff like that. So, you know, he's still got stuff to do. He's trying to get off the call.
Yeah.
I did notice that.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, I thought that was just intriguing. I mean, obviously the – I mean, let's see, we were even told it by somebody in the Locked On Pacers or Locked On Podcast Network that the Turner's rumors are all abound right now.
Yes, you know, we did hear that. We cannot probably disclose any more information.
We don't know anything. We just know that his name is being floated around a bunch of places. But I think we could have kind of said that since August, since whatever. We knew he was going to probably be floated unless he had some crazy playoff run. What else from his press conference did you like?
I just I like that it sounds like they're okay with running it back. You know, they're okay being patient, and you know, I know that's kind of boring from a fan perspective, but I mean, sometimes that's the right move when other teams are changing it up. You know, the Jazz are going to do this again. You change your coaching staff up and count on internal growth to be better. Just, you know, just that maybe they'll trade Turner, maybe they'll trade Oladipo, but it sounds like, you know, given their limited assets and they're in early years of this era, it doesn't seem like they're super like dying to make a move or anything.
Yeah, and I think what became even more obvious today is just how little value Vic has. I mean, I think we've known it, but like,
yep,
it became evident, right? So like, and the reason I wanted to talk about Seth Curry is I think the one viable trade you and I both would have said is like maybe possible, and it might have even been a pick, but some kind of move to the Mavs, right? Yep. Because the Mavs at minimum want to clear cap space for next summer to go after somebody big, right?
Yep.
Because they will have Luka still at a very low number and they'll have a bunch of space, right? And that's what they did, right? They traded Seth Curry, who's got three more guaranteed years, for one guaranteed year of production to basically clear space to maybe get Giannis. Who else is free agent next year? He's the only one, big one? Or
no, there's a bunch of other guys.
Yeah, but like Giannis is the big fish, right? There's the idea. I mean, I think that might be a pipe dream, but that's what these teams kind of think. And the fact that like Seth Curry got traded for basically like, I mean, I don't know. Do you think Richardson is a better value than him? I think it's basically even value.
Josh Richardson in a high second was the trade.
Right, so like not much, right, I would say. Like pretty, like kind of, it basically just like a, hey, what swap deals you want? You guys need more three-point shooting. We want less money. Right. That's like, it was kind of like a win-win for both sides. And I think that kind of shows how like little value Vic had, that I'm not sure if I would have taken a Seth Curry and DeLon Wright just for Vic, but like if Seth Curry's that available and you know what I mean? And you couldn't even maybe try to, cause I think he's a pretty good player and be really good, you know, seventh guy on the Pacers or whatever. And so I don't know. It just kind of,
well, J. Rich probably has more value than Depot right now.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Do you think he has more value than Depot? That's
especially when combined with a pretty good second. And I forget who the Mavs turned that into, but it was someone pretty popular amongst at least the people who I know that like the draft. But
you know, I feel like, to be honest, every time you take a perfect, oh, people thought he's popular, people like him. Every you hit for all 60 picks tonight.
It was a deep draft, Adam.
Honestly, maybe LaMelo Ball's the one you can't say that for. Legitimately.
I know, like, it's crazy, like, in the way the draft goes, I'm like, oh yeah, he went number three and not number one. Like, that's a big ass deal, and I like don't even think about
it. You realize in 2 years from now there will be maybe seven guys tonight whose names relevant. Like,
yeah, Cassius Stanley probably wouldn't even be on the Pacers.
No, I mean, there'll be 7 of 15 relevant players in this year's draft. That's about how it works.
Yeah, that was something else he talked about with Stanley. They haven't really decided on like the contract structure with him on like minimum two way. Who knows? We'll see. Irrelevant though.
But yeah, so I mean, I think that's what I think is just sad, is that Josh Richardson, a guy who I mean had an up and down year, I think overall probably has more value than Vic, and that says a lot.
Yeah, I mean that I would have probably said Josh Richardson has more value than Vic before we had.
I know, but now you saw it. Now you see that it has less value than Vic. Like.
Trade I had was Seth Curry, and then I used Daylon Wright for just because he's neutral salary. Right? He's like valueless, basically. He's just flotsam. And then 18. Now, in hindsight, that's too much. It should have been 31 instead of 18, and then maybe he has some realism. But
I just wonder still if you're the patient, you would never take that deal.
Exactly. You just optics-wise would just not do that, but whatever.
Yeah, because you would be basically admitting that he has no value by doing the good. Right. Well, they're good players, but they're not game changers. They're just locked in deals. The other thing I want to talk about, just because I know we monitor the Kings as kind of being like a possible trade bar for the Pacers, whether it's for Turner, some kind of like Turner Buddy Hield swap, which we kind of
end up with a center tonight.
Yeah, well, it's that also too, and I think we should just say. I mean, it seems like the Bogdanovich stuff is more just a smokescreen because they weren't supposed to announce the trade till Friday, basically. But if somehow he ends up back on the table, that's just interesting, because the Pacers, a guy I think both of us really, the Pacers should try to target in a sign and trade is one of Bogdan or Hield, right? We think they're both pretty good players, and Bogdan probably even a little bit cheaper than Hield at this point.
It's pretty funny because so for those who need to catch up on the story, because you don't follow the Kings, and I don't blame you.
Yeah, fair enough.
The Bucks agreed to a sign and trade with the Kings for Bogdan Bogdanovich. They sent out three players at a certain salary: DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, and Ersan Ilyasova. So that got announced and leaked, and then you know, the thing with sign and trades is a player has to sign something, right? You can't just make it up, right? So he Bogdanovich had to be involved in those talks. And then
well, you don't have to sign something. You just have to agree to sign something.
Agree. Yeah, okay. But then today, if you listen to Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst and Zach Lowe, they're talking about on the show how like Giannis is like buddy-buddy with Bogdanovich and stuff, you know,
okay,
and
they're both so Euro awesome
guys and stuff. Right. So then basically what the problem is a sign and trade means that he signs a deal with the Kings. So the league is like, holy tampering. You know what I mean? He's already signing something and they're agreeing to move him. So now all these reports are like, wait a minute, Bogdanovich might not agree to this deal with the Kings. Like he might sign somewhere else so they don't get a tampering fine. But I still imagine that trade happens, but you're right. It is in theory something to monitor because the Kings are.
Well, yeah. So like the two things here, one is Silver could just kill the deal and that could be a big deal. I doubt he will, but that's
I really doubt it.
But yeah. Yes. That's a very like, low end possibility, but it is. We've seen an NBA commissioner kill a deal before. It's not unprecedented. The other one is I wonder if he's trying to negotiate for more money, right? So you can do
he
right,
can do 100, it now.
125% of his salary, right? That's how much you can like uneven trade, right? If that's possible, yeah. Right? So
sign and trades are different, but yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, so if some so let's say right now the salary is added to 14.6 million. Maybe he wants. I think 100% would be like maybe he wants 16.
He can do it now.
Right. Maybe
he can really threaten like I'll sign somewhere else. I'll screw you.
Yeah. Maybe he, you know, they say, well, how about you do 14? He's like, I want 16, you know, or I want an extra year. I want, or maybe he's getting an extra year. You know, there's things he could get out of this. Maybe, you know, I would assume he's going to get 4 years at, I don't know, what is 16 times four, $65 million or whatever. I assume that's what the deal is, but we'll find out, I guess, come probably Friday or Saturday or Sunday. But you can't not until Sunday. Right. So Sunday we'll find out.
It's kind of interesting because negotiations start Friday, but free agency starts Sunday. So I don't know what's the moratorium technically this year. So I don't know if maybe stuff will be announced Friday or maybe stuff will be announced Sunday.
Okay.
But that's, so I want to loop this back to the actual Pacers, Adam, if that's cool. I tweeted this as part of a thread today. So in theory, one of the options for Gordon Hayward trade to the Pacers is he opts out and then there's a sign in trade. But remember, the same situation would apply there where he would be signing first and then a trade. So it's a free agent transaction. So we wouldn't even hear about it into free agency. So for a few days. So his option deadline is not when you would hear about the trade. It's
so
farther off.
The thing about tampering, though, I thought if the team gives the player permission, he can do it, right? Chris Paul
had to be under contract to do that because Chris Paul was under contract with the Suns. Or the
Thunder to go to the Suns.
The Thunder, right. So they said you can talk with other teams. But Gordon Hayward would not be under contract. I'm putting air quotes up because no one in the league actually cares. It's just like – it's hard to explain. But like, you know, with Bogdanovich entering free agency, I'm sure teams actually would want him. With Gordon Hayward, it's different because he has a player option. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess it's similar to Hayward last year – or Horford, not Hayward. Horford last year, right, where he opted out and nobody knew what deal he was going to sign, but clearly he had a deal in place. Otherwise, he wouldn't
have
opted out.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. Also, somebody who got traded today.
If the Hayward stuff to the Pacers is real and even possibly happening, it would probably – you'd hear about it Friday when negotiations start, not tomorrow when his option date is. But anyway, yes.
No, but you wouldn't hear the Pacers, but if he opts out tomorrow, you know there's something happening. He might still be signing with Boston.
No, he could be signing a longer-term deal with the Celtics, and that is very possible that he wanted to see what they did in the draft, that he wanted to see how other teams he wanted to go to – handled the draft and what they did that night, right? Like the Hawks got Onyeka Okongwu. That's pretty sweet. You know, you never know. I don't think he does anything.
Right, because Boston is trying to cut salary to be under the luxury tax, right? So they would want him to sign 3 for 20 for 75.
They would like him to opt out, yes.
Yeah, and he could do something because of the weird way that money's being held out this year. He could do something where he makes 25 next year, actually would be, but then it scales back up 8% to the back end deal is more and ends up actually maybe being similar amounts of money in the long term because he's so much is withheld this year, maybe next year. Like,
correct.
There's that possibility, right? I mean, that's a whole other, you know, confusing wrinkle that we don't need to discuss. Okay. So I guess
fun day.
I'm glad
the draft part is over because it's you know, I'm happy we get to talk about Cassius Stanley a lot and figure out how it fit in with the team and new players are fun, but like only having the 54th pick, I just felt like we were dragging our feet across the draft line.
Yeah. I guess the thing we will do is off air, but I guess if nothing happens tomorrow, you might not hear from us, but if stuff will happen in the next 3 days, and you'll hear from us a lot this weekend, probably most likely.
I might try to find a Duke person and have them talk Cassius Stanley if nothing happens, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we just don't know. The deadlines don't make any sense right now. So we just don't know what's going to happen when, frankly.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I mean, there's like
very complicated.
Yeah. Like you could, and like clearly stuff can leak out before it's actually official, and if nobody can do anything about it, then it doesn't matter. So it'll be interesting. Right. Yeah. So anything else on free agency before we probably what's going to be probably a crazy next 4 days for us and for all of Pacer Twitter?
This is
the calm before the storm, Tony. You can.
You know what? I just want to remind everyone how small the Pacers' assets and cap space are. Please, please do not be disappointed if they are not doing exciting and awesome things like these more desperate or more cash-rich teams in their conference are.
So the
their time will come, I promise.
To add some optimism to that, I would just like to
That's not even optimism. That's just how team building works. Their time will come. I swear.
I'm going to throw some optimism. To make some interesting – remember last year the Pacers made a move for a guy who made $11 million, not a big move, but they made a move for a guy like that. They could easily pull off a move like that again if they wanted to try to figure that out. And that player, TJ Warren, it's worked out very well, I think, and they could figure out something like that again if they wanted to, per se. That's the move – kind of move they could try to make.
Yeah.
Just, but we're not, talking
– I think their big move and their big upgrade this season, Adam, happens to be with a guy with a clipboard.
That's sometimes the best way to get better, frankly. Yeah. Look at the Raptors last year. All right. I guess they also did trade for Kawhi. Or two years ago, I guess. All right. That's all for his Locked On Patriot podcast. As always, you can follow Tony at TSNBA. Go ahead and like his tweet about saying he didn't want Cassius Stanley. That would just be funny.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, you said managed
it. Deleting it right now.
Of course
it is. For those listening, it did happen, but I am going to delete it.
I'm not going to screenshot it. I don't care that much. You can follow me at FreedomAdam5. You can follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers. That is all of our Locked On Pacers podcast. We will bring you, I'm sure, a bunch more shows this week, so we'll see you then.